May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. This is one of our baptismal promises, seeking and serving Christ in all persons. Sometimes that can seem pretty easy. We read about the occasional saint whose life seems to glow with the very glory of Jesus. And of course we'd be happy to help out such a person. But it's harder to imagine Jesus being present in a terrorist abroad or a frenemy at home. Still, on an average day, an average person with an average sinful nature is who we usually encounter. And even if we catch a glimpse of Jesus in them, it can still be hard to sort through the rubble of misdeeds on their end or on ours in order to muster up the gumption to treat them with the honor and respect that our Lord requires. I wonder maybe if we'd prefer to keep Jesus in some hermetically sealed existence of misconceived holiness. Even if many of us are quick to affirm the hypostatic union of Christ's divine and human natures, fully God, absolutely, fully human, sure, just so long as he never gets dirty or angry or has to use the restroom. But in his earthly life, Jesus suffered like us, was exposed to pathogens like us, and knew what it was like to feel negative emotions, like when he wept for his dead friend Lazarus, or was incensed enough by the moneylenders in the temple, so much so that he flipped the tables and took a whip to drive them out. Full humanity means just that, going through anything that you or I would. And full divinity doesn't spare Jesus from the nitty-gritty of daily life's ups and downs. So is it so far a stretch to see Jesus when we look at one another? We just celebrated the ascension of our Lord this past week. And one of the key theological talking points many preachers reflect on from that event is how Jesus takes our full humanity and glorifies it by bringing it into heaven. Some see this as the logical corollary of the incarnation. Just as Jesus makes God accessible in his humble birth, he makes mankind perfectible in his marvelous return to the Father. Others remind us of how a fallen humanity cannot see God face to face without our being vaporized by his glory, a la Raiders of the Lost Ark. But Jesus' ascension opens a new way for a now justified, daily being sanctified, and soon to be glorified person to stand before our Father in his fullness without worrying that we'll cease to be. Human beings can be fully restored, not just as warty second cousins of Jesus, but as transformed new creations whose lives are metamorphosized from the inside out, starting with faith to set things right, continuing through works to set us straight, and finally coming to a head when we rise and stand completely renewed at our Lord's return. So even the most gnarly, twisted, and broken of us has the potential to become an adopted child of God. Jesus did what we could never do. Plus, Jesus has become what we hope to become. The image of God is restored in Christ, counted ours when we believe, becomes ours as we walk in that belief, and will glorify us just as Christ already is, so we might stand before God in total confidence that we are indeed worthy to draw near Him just as He drew near us. Therefore, we shouldn't find it so hard to see Jesus in others. The Holy Spirit is always at work to summon, draw, woo, convince, convict, forgive, bless, and renew them. And as we learned last week, if the Spirit is there, so is Jesus. We simply need to have fresh eyes, new vision, laser focus on looking for how Jesus is present in the lives of individuals. In a believer, we are already counted as part of Christ's own body, so we should treat each other like Jesus automatically. Each one of us who is bought by His most precious blood is heavenly royalty. Just as we impose chrism on a newly baptized person, not unlike the way queens and kings have been anointed for centuries, we are considered sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of Kings Himself. And so we should consider it an honor to be with and serve one another as the princesses and princes that we are in Christ. In a person who doesn't believe, Jesus is still at work by His Holy Spirit. Common grace means that the goodness of God is given to all people alike, no matter their belief level or their level of moral attainment. And the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, desiring that no one should fail to find Him, longing for everyone to discover the knowledge of the truth of His life and love for them, means that not a single person needs to remain on the outside looking in. One of the easiest ways of breaking down that kind of us versus them barrier is to treat them like they are one of us already. We go to people where they are first, instead of expecting them by chance to come and find us. We welcome everybody, no matter their beliefs, doubts, worries, failures, or burdens. We greet everyone with genuine love, not perfunctory civility, or the typical ignoring that most of us do with passersby on the street. We help others in need as we are able and as they are willing to receive. We show respect to them as though they were Jesus Himself, and we open our homes and our tables with them to grow in real friendship, not treating them like some mere project. Pray for them. Don't prey on them. At first, this kind of intentional positive regard for others can seem like the highest pretense. But if we genuinely believe that the same Spirit who brought Jesus back from the dead is at work in everyone to win them to His love, then doing the right thing by others ought to open our eyes to see Jesus in them. Instead of seeing a statistically insignificant but emotionally riling threat in a refugee or an undocumented person, we'll see the infant Jesus with Mary and Joseph running from an insane King Herod to the relative safety of Egypt. Instead of regarding people who merely disagree with you as persecutors who somehow stand in the way of your American rights of religious liberty, you'll see the Lord asking you tough questions that He wants you to wrestle with. Instead of seeing the poor as lazy, good-for-nothings, looking for a handout, we'll see those who our Savior commanded us to do what we can for as though we did it for Him. People who are most mistreated by society's greedy and power-hungry. In both our lesson from First Peter and from John's Gospel, we encounter the underlying truth that Jesus' glory is seen in his people. But perhaps we must first see Jesus in others before he can be seen in us. Too often, Christians are notorious for their un-Christ-like attitudes and actions. But maybe, just maybe, we can avoid such bad PR if we simply treat people like they were Jesus standing in front of us, instead of a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners doomed to destruction. Maybe if we gazed into the eyes of another human being as though we were looking at Christ's own eyes of love, however close or distant they may actually be from God's love, maybe then they'll catch a glimpse of Jesus in the love that they see in our eyes. Maybe if we modeled what it's like to honor Jesus by showing that same honor to others, no matter if they deserve it or not, then they just might understand how wonderful Jesus is because they've benefited from that practical wonder personally. I know this has been less exegetical and more topical today, but it is true nonetheless. Jesus wants us to be aware of his presence at work in every single life that we encounter. He wants us to treat others as though they were him. May we all learn more and more how to look for Jesus in everyone we meet, and then treat them like the Jesus that we ourselves have discovered. Let us pray. Lord, grant us the gift of your Spirit that we may know Christ and make him known. And through him at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. In your precious name we pray. Amen.